God is good. All the time. All the time. Yeah. How long has he been faithful? Not only all our lives, but everybody's life, right? Eternity. Eternally. Father, we just lift this up to you this morning. Just speak to us. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if you remember Angel. He came a couple times. He's like 18. Legia taught him Sunday school, maybe 4 and 5 years old, and then they moved to Manassas. And he called me out of the blue a while back, and he's visited a couple times. But I went up there Tuesday to visit him, and he invited one of his friends along. So we went and picked up his friend, and his friend gets in the car, and he says, so why'd you become a pastor? And I was like, whoa, like my mind's racing. I had like all these ideas at once. And like we were going, he told his friend, we're going to go do a Bible study. So like we're going to go do something else. But he didn't tell me he was inviting his friend. I said, I'm going to be up in Bealton. I'll come up and visit you. He's like, okay, can we do a Bible study? I was like, sure. Like I didn't have anything prepared. So we go up. I go up and then he gets his friend and he got another friend. So I'm like on the spot, but I'm like, I want to save it for the Bible study, you know, like, so he asked this loaded question. I'm like, I could give him my entire testimony, you know, I could talk for hours. And then I was like, well, it's really easy. It's really a very simple answer because of the love of God. God loves me. Like, and I saw how much he loves me. And the kid's name is Sebastian. I forgot to ask prayer for him this morning, but he prayed to receive Christ. He was grew up Catholic, and he wants to learn more. I told him I'd get him a Bible. So, anyway, so this is Romans. I mean, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Because of the curse, all did die, and he had to come and die for us. But the love of Christ compels us. And he died for all that those who live, that's us. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've received him as your Savior, that's us. That those who live should no longer for themselves. Should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So, if we're to know no one after the flesh, I'll go ahead and put the other verses up there for you. No one according to the flesh, then how do we know them? Like you don't know them by their sin or by their faults, right? So how do we know them? And they have sin and faults. People have sin and faults. But we don't know them that way. So to those who have received Christ, it's evident that we're a new creation. We know them as a new creation, as born again in their new man. In Christ we know them. And as loved by God. But what about to the lost? How do we know them? As valuable and loved by God, right? They're loved by God. We esteem people as Christ does. they're loved and they're valuable. So the love of Christ compels us to esteem and serve others. Verse 15, no longer for themselves. Like, that's serving, right? The love of Christ compels us to be ministers of reconciliation and of the word of reconciliation, to be ambassadors of Christ. For though I am free of all men, I have made myself servant to all, that I may win the more. And I'd just like to point out, servant to all. We're servants to all. And in doing that, we kind of have to restrain our own rights, right? We have rights. We have right to think a certain way. We have a right to not like them, right? We have a right to whatever. We restrain our own rights in order to win the lost, and we forfeit our right to be right. And love doesn't always have to be right. We can tend to condescend or speak down to people sometimes, but Paul's saying, I'm willing to sit side by side and meet that person where they are, where they're at. This is what he says. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those under the law. And to those without the law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. I'm going to meet you where you are. That's what he said. I'm going to meet you where you are. I'm not going to compromise who I am with God, but I'm going to meet you where you are. To the Jew, you don't have to give up your Jewishness. You can be Jewish and follow Christ. You don't have to become a Gentile. To the Gentiles, you don't have to become a Jew. You don't have to take on Jewish customs. I'm going to come alongside. What else in the Bible, or who else in the Bible, comes alongside? The Holy Spirit comes alongside, right? He's a comforter. He's a helper. And that word means, like, to come alongside, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us and helps us. So if we want to help somebody know about Christ, we come alongside them. Paul could have easily said, I'm an apostle and I'm condescending. He could have said, let me leverage my intellect and just wow them. Or, I'm a man of great cultural prestige in my Jewishness. You know, taught by Gamaliel, the Pharisee, a very high-ranking Pharisee. Like, that's who I am. And he could have come to the Gentiles and said that, but he didn't say that. He said it when he needed to say it to correct people or to come alongside them, but he didn't say that to the Gentiles. He said, no, I'm going to sit alongside and minister to you, a Jew to the Jew. And the thing about servitude is that there is not anyone that I'm not willing to serve, because he says all. And sometimes we can be selective in our servitude. You know, I'm willing to serve the rich, but not the poor. I'm willing to invite somebody into my circle who can add something to my life, but not somebody who can't add something to my life. You know, that's selective servitude. But God, he's calling us to be more like the Holy Spirit. I'm going to come alongside. I'm going to love you. I'm going to minister to you no matter where you are. Everyone is over me in esteem. Like, I esteem you very high, and I'm going to serve you. That doesn't mean you give up authority, like a mother. A mother esteems her kid, a great mother esteems her kid higher than herself, right? And a father. Right? They esteem them very high. They serve them. They change their diapers, you know, and they esteem them. That doesn't mean that to be a great mother, you don't discipline them, you know, But think about how a mom serves. They love that child. They serve them. And they esteem them very highly. And Pastor Miel spoke a message a long time ago. The word constrains, one of it can be like to hug or to hold in that place. It holds us in this place. So we have no other, we can't go anywhere else. It holds us here as ambassadors. It holds us here as ministers of reconciliation. And he was saying, like, a mommy with a three-year-old, a mommy who just really loves her kid, and her kid knows that the mom loves her. If you ask the kid, do you love your mommy? Kid has no other choice to say yes, you know? Like, even if the kid's, like, being in the flesh and saying, no, I don't love her, you know, being a little brat. When it gets down to it, the kid has no other choice but to say yes. Yes, I love my mommy. And we love God, right? The love of Christ constrains us, leaves us no other choice to love him back. And, the servitude of a mom puts her child before herself. And isn't this what Christ came and did? Christ came to do? He came and put us above himself. He didn't have selective servitude. He didn't say, I'm going to die for everyone except for Tom. Like, his sins are just, nope, everyone but him. No, he loved me. And you can fill your name in the blank too. He loved you. And that's awesome. He didn't have selective servitude. He even served Judas. He loved Judas to the end, right? He even served Judas. So, to the weak, I became as weak. Well, all of us are weak. Like, sometimes we think we're strong. But you can acknowledge that you're weak. We need God. We're very needy people. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partner of it with you. Imagine if Christ was selective in his servitude. Imagine that. Verse 19, servant to all. Verse 22, I am all things to all people. Are we all things to all people? Do we really want to come alongside all people? The love of Christ compels us. For which people? All people. And what do we have here? To the rich, I'm rich. To the poor, I'm poor. I was thinking about, like, what about to those who are multiple generations of America? Like, your great-great-grandfather came over on the Mayflower or something, you know? Like, as my grandmother used to say, FFV. They think they're from the first family of Virginia or something, you know? Like, the blue blood. Like, what about them? What do we have in common with them? Like, what do we have in common with them? Like, we can come alongside them. We can be like, wow, the foundations of America, whatever. Like, we can come alongside them. Or just somebody who's been here, they don't know how many generations. They don't know what their ancestors are or whatever. They might know their English or Welsh or whatever. But we can come alongside and be like Vali. Vali does that. He comes to America and he tells people how much he loves America. And they open their heart to him with an accent from Romania. And he witnesses to them. And I do the same thing in Romania. I go over to Romania and just love how beautiful it is, how great the people are. And they're just like, wow, what else you got to say? You know? And how about somebody who's been here one generation, or they're the first generation. Like, to those. Well, Hudson Taylor, what did he do? Hudson Taylor went to China and he wore a Chinese dress and grew his hair out in a Chinese ponytail and ate Chinese food and spoke Chinese. You know, like, he, like, went all in, right? And so, like, he was all things to all people. Like, but we have people here. Like we can... And so those people, if you're like first generation, How do you appeal to some old American? Well, you talk about the redbud trees. Look at that awesome redbud tree over there. I love Virginia. You know, in Mexico, we have the bougainvillea vine, and it's really pretty. But here you got the redbuds. That's really awesome. I love redbuds. You know, you start talking about redbuds and the green and the deer and whatever else, and the Virginians will just open their heart up to you and be like, yeah, spring is great. You know, I love Virginia. And then you start talking to them. And from white to black and black to white, there's no difference. I mean, there's a difference, but for us, there's not, because we're all things to all people. It sounds kind of silly to say to the black, I'm black, because I'm not black, right? Or a black person say to the white, I'm white, because they're not white. But they can be, in a sense. They can love me like that. A black person can love me like that. And that's how it works. And then Hispanics. I'm Hispanic to the Hispanics, and I'm not Hispanic. I only speak a little tiny bit, and I'm not very good at that. But hey, I'll start talking to them. I'll be like, hey, I love tacos. I like the original tacos too. I like the Americanized tacos, but those original tacos are pretty good. And burritos and enchiladas. What other Hispanic names? What other Spanish words do you know? You know, you just start talking and encouraging them, and they open up. And we met some kids yesterday, Guatemalan. Their dad speaks mom. I was like, oh, we got two girls in our church. Sometimes come there, their parents speak mom. But they didn't have a cell phone. Kid was 15, didn't have a cell phone. I was like, that is awesome. That's so awesome. My kids didn't have a cell phone until they were 16. And he looked at me like, really? And like, he kind of opened up to me, you know, like some of the corniest things you don't think you have something in common. And until we lost our kids, our babies, like, we had no idea how many women have lost kids or even miscarriage and, like, really thrown them for a loop. And, like, we'll go up to somebody and they'll open up and Legia has this testimony. Boom. And even I have the testimony because I was there with her, right? Boom. This happened to us. And you have all kinds of things that happen to you that it says you can comfort them with the comfort the Holy Spirit comforted you with. So you can come alongside them, even though it's not the exact same thing. It's like, you are human. You are weak. You have hurt. You know, we live in a fallen world. Debbie, she came alongside some Hispanics. We went out and she realized there's a lot of Hispanics in this area. She went home and memorized the Romans Road in Spanish. And then there was an opportunity. There was a guy, she came alongside, he didn't speak a lick of English, and I didn't speak enough Spanish to say too much to him, and she gave him the Romans Road, came alongside him. And we sit beside where they are. Even Muslims, like, we're not going to agree with their theology, right? But there's one God who's holy. There's a creator. They agree with these things. And we can come alongside. And Pastor Mati, who's in Oman, he has an art studio. And he talks with them about art. And he goes and drinks coffee with them. And he has parties. And he's, like, sophisticated. Like, he'd have the real nice teacups and everything's neat. And, like, he attracts this type of people. And he does art exhibits in New York and Zurich and, like, all over the world. And then he goes to Oman and tells them about it. And he, like, begins to relate to some people. And then the subject of Jesus comes up. To Indians, do you have anything in common with Indians? Like, I don't like Indian curry, but, hey, I love elephants and tigers. You know, like, hey, you got elephants and tigers over there, right? Or something. I mean, I watch Slumdog Millionaire. And can you imagine, like, I'm serious, like, you think the most petty little thing that you think is silly, if you try to communicate in their language or you try to relate to them, they think it's cute. They think it's nice that you're making an attempt, you know? And I know somebody named Akansha and Atul and Satnam and Patel and Singh, you know, like, I know these Indian names. You're like, I met this one guy, he was from Nepal, and I was like, oh, Kathmandu. He's like, oh, you know it? And I was like, well, I know a guy from there. His name's Narge. And he was like, really? Like, and then I met a lady at Costco. She was from Uzbekistan. And I was like, oh, Samarkand. I know a guy from Samarkand. She's like, you know a guy from Samarkand? You know, like, it's just like, just the littlest thing. And it's like, I'm not, I might have a political view, but I'm not here to talk about politics with you. I'm here to come alongside you, you know? To Afghans, hey, you like that naan bread cooked on the stone? That, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you just, I'm human. I appreciate creation. I'm a sinner like you. To the atheist, I appreciate reason. Have you ever thought of this? You know, reason, like Paul, didn't Paul do that? He went to Mars Hill and he said, I'm a philosopher. I'm a philosopher like you guys. And I'm here to tell you about that statue you have over there to the unknown God. You know, he's like, and we don't know after unbelievers after the flesh in like a condescending sort of way. And like, we can all get like that in our heart, but we got to guard our heart against that, right? Because there's all kinds of things about any people. Your family can get on your nerves. You know, like anybody can have something negative that we can be negative about. But we need to be, just love them and come alongside them and then tell them the gospel. And believers, how about believers? We know them as a new creation and they're new men. We're going to talk about that for a second. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I put New King James, which I always use, but that's kind of interesting. This word made us accepted is it's a Greek word that means like to grace or to induce special honor. And the King James Version says make accepted or to be highly favored. So he graced us into the beloved. We're graced into the beloved. We're favored into the beloved. Like God looks at us with great esteem and he highly favors us and he put us in the beloved. This is another translation. Like, wherein he has taken us into favor in the beloved. And then that word is the same word used when the angel comes to Mary and says, you highly favored one. You are a highly favored one. We think Mary is like, wow, like God showed so much favor on her, right? And he did. But God shows so much favor on us. He does. He like highly favored, that's the same word. He accepts us. He accepted her for this role because he favored her. And he accepts us in Christ because he favors us. He graces us in to the body of Christ. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are highly favored. Think about it. Like God highly favors believers. You're highly favored, David. Yeah. Hey, Marcos, you're highly favored. Both of you. They're both named Marcos, by the way. And hey, Mike, you're highly favored. Fred, you're highly favored. Angelica, you're highly favored. Andy, you're highly favored. We're highly favored. Awesome. We need to think about God and esteem people, and believers are in. Believers are in. So with that, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Like the great mother does, esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And we do. This church does. It looks out for the interests of others. I love that. I tell people, come to church and we'll love you. You'll see, we love you. And I just really appreciate Stephanie and Alex, like, looking out for some of the people who can't get to the hospital and like, with their keep track of their doctor's appointments and different things like that. They're looking out for the interest of others. I love it. And we do that here. And, like, let's continue to have that mindset. And when people come to church, we love them. We can tell people that. Come to church and we'll love you. And so the disciples, Friday and Saturday, you know, Jesus is killed. And then after the resurrection, yay, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, yay. And then it began to dawn on them. Wait a minute. They didn't actually take his life. He gave it. Like, this is prophesied, and this is why he came. He knew. He told us he was going to go and die. Like, he gave his life. It dawned on him. He gave his life. And it reminds me of a story that many of you know. It's the story of Jim Elliot. Anybody ever heard of Through Gates of Splendor? There's a couple books written, but I think that one's the best, written by Elizabeth Elliot, his wife. It's Through Gates of Splendor, and I'll just try to give you a little small synopsis. So these guys and their wives, they took their wives and their kids down to the jungle. This was like in the 50s, early 50s, and in South America. And they heard of this tribe that were called Akans, which is like, it literally means naked savages or killers. And everybody that came in contact with the Akans died. They would kill everybody on site. They'd kill them. And so God gave them a heart for these people. So they began praying over this region, and they had a little airplane they'd fly over and pray over the villages. And then they met somebody who had come from that tribe on the outside, and they learned a few words, and they rigged up this thing with a rope where they'd fly their plane in a circle, and they'd let down gifts to them, and the people would receive the gifts, and they'd yell out, "We're friends. We're your friends." And it's a gift, and the people sent them a parrot back up as a gift, and so they thought, okay, we're making contact, like, we're coming alongside them. We're, like, being friends with them. But they knew the danger, because these people had, they're killers. They're just stone cold killers. And so eventually they all decided the guys were going to go in, and they're going to land on this sandbar, and they're going to build a tree fort. They're going to sleep overnight in a tree fort, and they're going to take guns, but they're not going to use their guns to kill anybody. The Indians knew what guns were. They were going to use them to scare them off if they were being attacked. So they decided that they would rather die and go to heaven than have these people go to hell. Like, they were giving their lives. They were totally servants. And so they went, they made contact, and I think they communicated back that they were okay. They made contact, and a couple days later, they were all killed. All of them were killed. And so this is Jim Elliot, and that's his wife Elizabeth, about the time, well, obviously when he was alive, before he went there, right? So his wife found two other women who had recently come from that tribe who had come out. So she went and made friends with them, led them to the Lord, learned the language somewhat, and then the first girl, Dayumi, and these girls went back to the village, and they told them, "You killed the wrong people. These people were really your friends," and da da da. So the village said, "Okay, we killed their husbands." They had a custom: you kill somebody's husband, they're allowed to stay in the village. If she wants, she can come stay in the village. She took her kid against everybody's advice. Everybody said, "Don't do that." She took her kid and she went up in the village, up in the jungle, way back in, with the people that killed her husband. And she ended up, and then the other lady, the pilot's wife, and their kid went too. And then, like, almost the entire village got saved. They changed their names to Wanoni, which is, like, peaceful people. So this is the sandbar where they landed the plane. And this is her with her daughter when she first went. And this is the kid, the pilot's son, who went there. And this is him when he's older. And this guy is the guy who killed his dad. So the guy's name is Mankaye. He took him when he was a kid. He took this guy when he was a kid. He took him to the sandbar, and he said, this is where it happened. This is how it happened. I took your dad's life. And he gave him a spear. He said, now you can take mine. And the kid said, you didn't take my dad's life. He gave it. He gave it. And he did. That was his heart. That was his intent. Not to kill them, but to give it. And what a beautiful story. And now, like, there's so many believers out of that. And this is what he wrote 7 years before that. He wrote in his journal. You can't really read it, so I wrote it up here. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Wow, isn't that powerful? Like, you can't keep your time. You can't keep your car. You can't keep anything in this life. You can't even keep your life, right? So you give it. You're no fool to give what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. And Christ loves people. Dean was up here singing, and I didn't balance it because I think this is a message. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, you know? I don't need to balance it with politics or love Muslims. I don't need to balance it with they're wrong and we're right. Like, we've got the message. We know we're right, right? Like, we know. I don't need to balance homosexuality. When I'm saying love them, love them. We know it's wrong, you know? Love them, though. Love them anyway. And esteem people, come alongside the lost and be all things to all people that you might win some. You're not going to win them all. You might win some, even one, right? God wasn't selective. He didn't cross your name off when he came to pay for our sins. And why, if we're free from all men, are we servant to all? We're free from all of them. We're free. We totally, there's freedom. There's freedom, and there's liberty to do whatever we want. It's not necessarily edifying. It's not going to help us or other people, but we're free. Why would we be servant to all? Well, love has reasons that reasons know nothing about. You know? Like what is it in Proverbs? It's like the six things, no seven, that are too high for me, the way of a ship, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a man with a maiden. You know, this love, like, he'll write some corny poem. I'll cross the highest mountain. I'll swim the deepest ocean. I'll do whatever to spend a minute with you, you know, like, and he's got this love, you know, and that's God's love for us. God's love for us. And when we receive it, we love him because he first loved us. That's, if you want to love people, start letting God love you. You know, we let God love us and then we love. That's what the love of Christ compels us. It's our motivation to walk by faith. That's what motivates me to walk by faith. Like that kid asked me, well, why are you a pastor? I'm like, why am I a pastor? Huh? All these thoughts, the call, you know, my testimony, thousands of different verses, it comes down to love. He loves me. He loves me. And it's our motivation to walk by faith. And it's like your laws and your freedoms, they don't mean anything in that sense. It's faith working through love. Faith works through love. Like that's receive his love and watch faith work. Like that's how it works. Amen.